Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
What a great morning already to have these baptisms and to invest in them, the beginning of it for us as a church, to lean in and to pray for and encourage these children to grow up and to love Jesus, to be able to celebrate moms. And I love that we live in a nation that sets apart a day for us to do that, to lean in, to celebrate the investment of our moms and our lives, and to be here to worship Jesus. That's the best of all, that he gets enthroned on our praises. I was thinking as we were worshiping, I was about ready to step up here, and I thought about what used to be on the pulpit. When I first came here, there was a pulpit up here, and I put a sticker on it when I first got here. It's over a decade ago. But what it said was this, and so stepping in today, I feel this. Preach as though you are a dying man to dying men and women, as if we may never hear the gospel again. That when you bring the gospel, bring it in such a way that that gospel, that good news, that it matters for us here this morning. And I was thinking as we were worshiping about this life that we live, and the life that God wants for you and the life that God wants for me, the life that God wants for people is this, that it won't be found in some form of perfection, that we just get it right and you get your facts straight and you get your theology straight. Where it's going to be found is in creating space where Jesus can show up. Space in our lives where he can do that internal work and make us into that which he longs for. And so let's create space right now for God to begin that work in us as we turn to his word. Let's pray together. Lord, as we turn now to you and you to us, your face is always turned toward us. Your desire is always for us. And your work of your Holy Spirit is always a work that shapes us and conforms us more into the image of your Son. As we think this morning on the things that really matter to you, enough that they got recorded in the scripture we're going to read this morning, and how much we mean to you, we pray your blessing now on our thoughts and then on our response. And we pray this in your name, amen. Home is a word that I think for most of us, it's a word that it's attached to feelings and it's attached to people. And it's probably a word for most of us in here that is more emotionally linked than any other word that we use, or at least as much as any word we use in our vocabulary. And it's different than the word house, because when we think about the word house, we can think about roof lines, and we can think about color, we think about landscaping, we can think about square footage and what different rooms look like and how they're going to function with one another when we live in that house. But when we think about home, memories start coming up. And we think about home, we think about people. When I think about home for myself, it is the people that come, whether it's friends that come into that space or it's family that comes in. Just the other day, I was in our home, and I heard the footsteps of our oldest granddaughter. She's 19 months old, and her footsteps are pretty unique, especially when she's moving. You can hear boom, 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 and her footsteps are really close together. And I heard her coming down the hallway, and then she was about to turn on the longest stretch that we have in our house. And she took a hard left and then came on past me, arms straight back, head out. That's how she runs, like she's some kind of superwoman. And she came running on by me, never made eye contact, got right here. She went zooming on by me, and she said, I'm running, Grandpa. And I'm like, I can see that, honey. You're going really fast. And she goes, my goodness, Grandpa. And the laughter that I just have so much joy when she's in our home. In fact, our home has become different because she's part of our home. When she comes over to the house, it's home for her. Here's a picture of our piano. And our piano sits in a particular, she ran past this at 1 mile an hour. She was cooking, went right past this. But if we zoom in, this is how we decorate our house now. Like for real. I mean, we got Bird Big and Abby Dabby Doodle Bop. We got both of those. If you're sitting there going, did he just say Bird Big? Yep, I did. You might call that Big Bird. Not in our house, because she calls it Big Bird. And you might say Abby Kadabby. Nope. It's Abby Dabby Doodle Bop in our house because that's what she named it. And in our home, the home that she's part of and we're part of, those things get brought around and put in different places before she goes back to her home with mom and dad. She puts them in places, and when she comes back, she goes to find them. So we'll dust under them and put them right back. Our home is decorated in such a way that marks this is her space. Very beautiful for us. Home. What comes to mind for you? I have so many thoughts. Whether it's my home, Kathy's home with me, our home, or the home I grew up in. And for some of us, we have incredible memories of our home, beautiful memories of home. One of the strongest of memories is that of smell. And some of us, we can even smell the smells of Grandma and Grandpa's home when we stepped in, the cooking that was there. And in a room this large, I already know that not all of our, you know too, not all of our memories are great ones. Some of our memories are painful. And what we also know is this, that God has done this amazing thing in creating us. And part of that creation is this, us. We have the ability to envision a different future. We might not be able to change the past, but we can envision a different future. And envisioning that future, when we think about home, to think about what it could be, what it was meant to be, we begin to realize that home for us, really could be this, that it's not so much that home isn't what is there, but it's who is there. It's not so much what is there, that there's furniture and there's square footage and there's colors of the wall. That's not what makes home. It's who is there. And for many of us, when we think about who, we do leap to a person. And that person is often mom. It's mom who had this capacity to take whatever space was there, whatever was in that space, and to turn it into a place where we were safe, we were warm, we were welcome, we were allowed to be fully ourselves. And in that space, we were deeply, deeply loved. Tim Keller said these words right here, that to be loved but not known is superficial. And to be known but not loved is our greatest fear. That's a powerful statement. To be loved but not fully known, that's just scratching the surface. Like, I still don't know that I'm loved if I'm only loved for a portion of who I am. Because if you knew all the rest of this, but to be fully known but not loved, that would be our greatest fear. Our greatest fear. And there is a deep truth that I want to get at with you here this morning. A deep truth that I think this truth gets exposed in a beautiful way for what would be, could be, was meant to be, and what God longs for every single one of us, when the Apostle Paul actually put down on paper, if you will, to the ancient church in Ephesus and sent to them these words, saying about us that you, each one of you, is no longer a stranger or a foreigner, but a fellow citizen with God's people and members of his household. That's pretty strong, that you went from being a visitor in the area and then a citizen of God's people. And he didn't stop there. Like, you're not just showing up to this place, and you're not just in a place where now you are part of the citizenship of it, but also a member of his household. And with that, he went on to write, and let's read all of it. It's Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, where it says, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is being joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too. If God is longing to do a work in you this morning, which I think he longs to teach something to each of us, or to at least have an encounter with him, we have to get into the story and let it get into us. You too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I mean, that's not small. That's big. What we just read is massive. Way bigger than having the idea in our head that somehow Jesus came into this world, and the purpose for which he came into this world is to make sure you belong to a certain religion. That's weak. That's way, way, way too small. To think that the Holy Spirit showed up, sent forth to come into this world to guide you and to guide me toward better self-help programs. This is way too weak. I mean, if you want that, go to the gym. If you want that, hire a trainer. If you want that, hire a life coach. The Holy Spirit is way more than that. The idea that Jesus would show up to planet Earth, go to a cross, die, resurrect from the grave, conquer death itself. The reason was so that you would be able to discern what church you want to belong to. I want to belong to a better church that does better music or has better whatever. I like this. This is not a game of Goldilocks, that this church is a little too cold, this one's a little too hot, and that one, oh, that church is just right. This is way deeper than that. God is about something way deeper than that in our lives, and longing for something way beyond that in us. He made you, who was a stranger and a foreigner, a citizen. Now you belong, but not just that. He kept going and saying, but now you are a member of my household. You're home. This isn't just a house. You are home. Home. I wonder how many of us know this guy right here. You might. You might just not know what he looked like. You might know his name. You may even have a book of his laying around your house. It'd be an old one. His name's Oswald Chambers. And I actually brought one of the copies I have up here, and I cracked it open this morning and smelt it and went, wow, it has that old book smell. It smells like truth is what it smells like. It's so good. And I was reading this when I was a younger pastor, like 2 years ago. and just a young guy. And so, actually, it's probably 3 decades ago I was reading it. But as I was reading it, there was a moment as I read it, and I went, oh, my word. This feels like something where the Holy Spirit's speaking to me and saying, don't make this about you. Oswald Chambers said, many of us who do this, and I have a friend who's a pastor who's here today, staff members that we do this for a living, what he was saying, many of us, we stand in our pulpits and we compel people to the beauty of Jesus. We show them the fountain that's flowing deep and wide, the blood of Jesus spilled for them out of an enormous love for them, the power of the resurrection. We compel people toward the cross of Jesus, but before they ever get there, we stop them to ourselves, and we become thieves of the cross. I don't ever want us to be that, ever here. Never want us to move to a place that it would be about, oh, I go to this church because I like this, or I show up because I want this. It is so much more. What I want is for us to go all the way, and find Jesus fully, that you would fully find him, because as it says in John 10:10, that the thief came to kill and destroy, but I, Jesus said, have come to bring life, that you might have it to the full. We will not get that just by showing up to a religion, just by going to church, just by showing up or catching better, whatever it might be. The only way is to go all the way in and meet him. And in him, you will belong. In him, it's there that you'll finally say, man, I am so secure. He's the rock in which I can hide. In him, you will be fully known, fully exposed, 100%, no hiding, but it's okay. You will be fully known because in him, he already knew it all. Even when he came, while we were still sinning, he died for us. You are fully loved. In him, you can experience life to the full, and in him, you are finally really home, the dream. And we can't fully dream this one up, but we can begin to step in and experience the fullness of all of this. And you know what the good news is? When Paul wrote this stuff that we just read out of the second chapter in Ephesians, when we were reading that, Paul didn't just write these words down right here, thinking to himself, I have some thoughts that I want to get into the minds of the people that are in Ephesus. Maybe beyond that, I don't know where this will go, but maybe generations later, 2,000 years later, into the people over at Fairhaven, that they just would get this thought. That is not what he was going after. He wanted that thing to be 12 inches down, 14 inches down in that heart, that you would know it. Not just know about it, but fully know it. Because he knew it. He wasn't writing about what he thought. He was writing about what he experienced. He knew. I was on the outside, but somehow Jesus brought me on the inside. I hated Christians. I tried to stomp out everything that had to do with Jesus. But Jesus met me on a road. He was on his way to Damascus. He met me on the road to Damascus, and then I had an encounter with him. And something happened. I knew that I belonged. I felt secure in him. I was fully known, 100% exposed. And yet I felt his love, even though he knew it all. And I began to step into an experience. There is something more for this life than I've ever. I was, for the first time in all of my life, truly home. This past week, actually only a handful of days ago, I was with a group of pastors, leaders in Christian ministry, and just a small group of us. There were seven of us in the room. And there was an experience that we had different than what most of us ever experienced, because we had a war veteran in the room with us that came to share with us. And he shared in a way many of us, we never experienced it, because for those of you that have served in the war or have seen combat, it's rare for any of you to open up about those stories. And he belonged to that group until more recently. He stepped into the room with the purpose of this, wanting those of us that hold the pulpit or lead in the Christian church to know that throughout our churches, there are people that are sitting there silent with stories that have caused PTSD, guilt, for some, shame, and some, the wonder that he held. And so he shared enough of his story, not all the detail, but enough of the story. And sometimes he said, this is really hard to do. I don't even like talking about this. And then he would just stop and say, I'm not going to share all of what we did. But he did tap into this at one point. I have been friends with this man for decades. I didn't know his story. I knew he went off to war, and that's as far as I knew. But he began to share about the passing of his wife. And then I talked to him afterwards in more detail on this. But he shared about when his wife had passed away. And he thought about even the fact that he had shared so very little with her over their decades of life together. Why? It was because of this. Because he knew she was such a good woman that he wondered if she actually knew what I did when I was loaded up for war and went into one village after another. I don't know that she could live with me. I don't know that she could ever live with me. And so he held it. Again, 2 years ago, she passed away. After her funeral, a couple days later, he and I were on the phone together, and then we got together and did a deeper dive on this, but he was really wrestling with this. I know where she is. I know her love for Jesus. I know his love for her. I understand and believe with everything I am where she is so good. My question is, will I ever see her again? Because I also know what I did. And I don't know if God could ever forgive what I did so many years ago. And I'm not going to go into all the detail, but we had some tearful, beautiful, painful moments actually together as we unpacked that and talked about what is the one unforgivable sin. It's just rejecting God to the very end. And are you rejecting God? No, I'm not rejecting God. Well, I can tell you for sure he's not rejecting you. He's not. And he's willing to forgive. The question is, will you allow that forgiveness to begin to heal you on the inside? And through tears, he began the journey. Now, what I want you to know is, again, I've known this man for decades. And I baptized him some 30 years ago. Such an amazing moment to baptize this man into faith in Jesus Christ. But then 28 years later, he'd been to church, he knew the scriptures, he understood, he heard enough sermons. But to be saying, for the first moments, I belong, I'm finally secure, I'm fully known. I'm fully loved. I'm beginning to experience the life that I've longed for. And in Him, I'm finally feeling home and freedom. That I think is worth talking about. That I think is worth not just saying, I went to a church service, but I encountered God, and God encountered me. And these words aren't just for my mind, yes, your mind, but also for this life of mine, all of me, that God longs for all of that, that I would actually experience Him. Paul went on to write these words to the church in Ephesus in 3:14-18. Such incredible words. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom? For what reason? For Don to finally feel freedom, for you to understand that in Christ you are truly home. For this reason, Paul's saying, me who met up with Jesus and my life was transformed, for this reason I hit my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives His name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you get into the story. You, this is for you, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of God's holy people, to grasp, grab hold of, not let go of, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ Jesus. Powerful. Powerful. This statement right here, just pulling it out of the scripture that we just read. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Jesus might actually dwell in you. Not visit, because it's different when you visit, isn't it? Not visit, because if you showed up as a visitor to the home of a friend and you started going through their medicine cabinet, that's just weird. Don't do that. And how about this? You showed up as a visitor in someone's home, and you just show up and you go, huh, wonder what's in the refrigerator, what's in the pantry. Really, we'd love to check out the master bathroom. Weird. That's weird. But Hallie, our granddaughter, I'm telling you, there's not a space in our house. She hasn't been. She's been to them all. We let her do things. I don't know, maybe we're better than we used to be, Kathy. We let her do things we just didn't. Maybe even let our kids do. Go ahead. Pull anything out. It doesn't matter. We can put it back later. We're sending you home with your mom and dad later, and we'll clean up when you're gone. And she shows up. This is one of my favorite moments with her. Kathy was doing her hair, and I heard her. It's kind of her language. She has a limited language, but really good vocabulary. And all of a sudden, she's like, Grandma, where are you? And it's a way of saying, I want you to come over here. And then she heard the hairdryer. Boom, boom, 1 mile an hour. Off she went, arms back, head out, took off. And I followed her. We went into the master bath. And we shut, there's the three of us in the master bathroom. We didn't shut the door, she did. She shut the door. Like, I got you guys trapped. And then she saw the full-length mirror and bent down and stared at it. And then started belly laughing. The three of us laughed. Not weird with her, she's home. That Christ would be home in your heart, not a visitor. Every space is available. It's what Robert Munger wrote, a little teeny book. It's called My Heart, Christ's Home. So let's land this thing. your heart. It's about you and Jesus right now. Your heart, his home. Amazing. I'm going to dwell in your heart. That Christ may dwell, that Christ may move in, that Christ may set up residence, that your heart will become Christ's home, his home. That right there. Robert Munger wrote this small book about us, about your heart being Christ's home. And in that, the thought would be this, that you would be fully home in Christ, and Christ would be fully home in you. It's a beautiful thought, especially when we pair it with Jesus' words. When Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I show up for that work. But I wonder, because we live in a generation right now, I just wonder, because over the 2,000-year experience of the church, sometimes the church has got it right and sometimes it's got it wrong. Sometimes we find within the church there are people, actually every generation has had this, that there are people that are following Jesus until it costs them something. And then there have been others that follow Jesus even at the cost of their own lives. Both are true. The invitation in this, would you follow Jesus at the cost of your own life? I mean that. Because Jesus didn't just say, hey, I have something for you. He said these words too. If you want to gain your life, you must lose it. This is going to cost you. You can't hold on to what you have and grab hold of what will be. You can't stay where you are and actually follow me because I will take you somewhere else. And to have Jesus move into your home is to give him access to it all. Munger talked about the library. What's in the library? It's that which we fill our minds with. What are you filling your mind with is the question. If it's Christ's home, he has access to that. Not just knowledge of it, but access. And if it's his home, he gets to talk to you about that. What are you filling your mind with? Be great. If it smelled like truth, right? If it's the word of God, that. Center on those things. He talked about the library. The library, and it's a good moment for us to assess. The library is that space where several weeks ago, I preached on the first thought in the morning and the last thought at night, let it be God. Pastor Dan spoke last week, abide in Christ and he in you. That the living room would be that space where Jesus is always waiting, always ready to meet up with you. And that space is where he does his best work, internal work in you. The workshop being that place where you, maybe it's out in the garage, or it's a craft room, or it's a place where you write and think and get your thoughts down. The workshop being that place that you have something to offer. What are you holding very loosely to? Lord, use me wherever you want. If you call, I'll go. I'll do it. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll be a part of it. If it's his home, he has say in that stuff. If that's truly his home, he has say. He spoke about the kitchen. And when you open up the kitchen doors to your refrigerator, and you look and go, I wonder what I want to eat today. Oh, that looks good. Or you open up the pantry. Oh, what's in the pantry? Ah, that looks like something. What are the cravings of the flesh? What are they? Have you yielded whatever those are? And I know from experience on this, the longer we ignore the cravings that are not bringing life to us, but actually robbing life from us, the more numb we become to even a statement like I just made. Give Christ access to that. And yeah, it's been decades though. I got other things. Pay attention to that. If it's his home, if he's not just a visitor, give him access to that. And then to think about that one spot in your house. I mean, that one spot, you're like, I want nobody to go into that space. I don't want my children to even see that. Man, I would that my wife wouldn't see that. My husband wouldn't see that. And Jesus has access to every spot. And he says, you invited me to be, can you let me in this spot? But Jesus, I give you everything else. I want to help you with this. It's going to take something, to a pretty heavy lift to clean this one out. That's what I do. You're fully known. It's not a place for shame. Guilt is different. Shame is this idea that you think that's who you are and what I think about you. Oh, no, I love you. Can I have access to that? And I'll help you clean that out. And then Jesus says, hey, about that title to the house. I see your names on it. I bought you at a price, all the way to the cross now, church. At a price, I made you my own. Are you willing to sign this over to me? What do you mean? Your life. The whole thing. All in. We do live in a generation that I think we have undersold the cost of following Jesus. Today, I don't want to undersell that. He's asking for the whole thing. Let's pray together. Lord, as we lean in now, many of us have thoughts about a library. What sort of stuff am I flooding my mind with? What might be better? Or a hall closet that I have locked up that I don't want anybody to see. Or the cravings, the kitchen, the cravings of this flesh that I need help with. Or I've been holding back. I want to follow you, but not until it costs me. This morning, your invitation is, no, it will cost you. If you want this life that we're speaking of, that I said that I came into this world for, if you fully want it to be truly home, you and me and I and you, it's time. Sign the deed over to me. All of it, not some of it, all of it, all of you for me. As Oswald Chambers wrote in that book, my utmost, Jesus, everything I am, for your highest, for your glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.